Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. As is Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. This is going to be an interesting program. I met this lady when I went to a restaurant and found out that she's also an author. And as soon as she started talking about this book, the producer of this program, the famous SKK, said, I got to get this lady on the program. And so here she is. And her name is Frieda Lewis Lombardo. And this, well, we're going to talk about this book. But first, you got to tell us a little bit about Frieda Lewis Lombardo.
Why, thank you so much. Thank you for having me here
today. Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate it. I am from Chester. I'm married to Vincenzo Lombardo.
Vincenzo.
Vinny has a restaurant in Chester, and that's where we met.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been married 30 years, just celebrated our anniversary.
Did you?
And I'm telling you what, it's opened up all kinds of doors. Got to meet you and the fan folks here at Substation 2, so it's awesome.
Well, we got to put a plug in for Vinny's, because if you've not been down to Vinny's, is there a way, I don't know whether there's a way you could do it in 60 seconds to talk about Vinny's, but...
So my husband was born in Sicily, worked in restaurants in Europe, moved into the cruising industry, and that's where we met. So he's been in the food business his whole life, and after we married, he began catering, and then catering moved into our own restaurant, and so that's where he is now. He is living the life. He loves it, the restaurant business down in Chester. So and, Italian food.
And it's a great meal. I mean, it's just a
wonderful place
to go for dinner.
Thank you so much.
So, the book.
Yes.
Now, professionally, you do what?
I am a teacher. I teach first grade through eighth grade. I'm a foreign language teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I help my husband on the weekends. I socialize, as you well know. I'm not a very good waitress. I'm just there for the fun. So that's what we do, and then in my spare time, I write. I love to write. I love to create stories.
And that's something. So you teach foreign languages?
I do. I teach foreign language in Chester for first grade through eighth grade, and it's wonderful. I love seeing all of the grades. They're great, from the little babies to the preteens. They are awesome.
And you are teaching them what, Spanish?
Spanish.
Yeah, how about that?
I get to teach Spanish and world culture. It's great because I'm not limited to just one thing. We get to dance and eat and cook and sing and art and all kinds of things. It's wonderful.
So how has your world been in the COVID-19?
You know what? It's been better. The shutdown has really gotten to us. Teachers love to teach, and we're not in the classroom, and we're just trying to make the best of a bad situation. But we're all hoping to get back to the classroom and get back with our children. I mean, that's what we've spent our entire lives doing.
Well, we're not going to talk about getting back to school, because there's going to be a lot of that.
All the kids just fainted. Oh. They were like, "What?
Yeah,
we don't want to do that."
So the book,
yeah.
You said you've always liked to write.
Yes. So I come from a family of writers. My brother is the real talent in the family. He writes this beautiful Southern fiction. And my mother is what I like to call a Hallmark Channel romance writer. She's 90. She has volumes and volumes of stories, but refuses to be published. And so writing has just been, writing and reading, been just a huge part of my childhood. And so I've written things. I have a file cabinet full of manuscripts that I just in the middle thought, oh, this is just nothing. I would not buy this book. And And until Habitat came along, until the storyline kind of entered my mind, I really never pursued it. So it was just the right time, I suppose.
So this is the first of three books in this series called The End Series.
The End Series, that's right. It's dystopian science fiction. It's set in the near future in a very imperfect world. In Habitat, the first book, my main character is a 20-year-old woman who was just an infant when an apocalyptic event caused the near extinction of mankind. And the book is about her journey into this refuge that everything is provided for these survivors of this event. And they're not having to struggle. They're thriving and doing well, but of course with every story there has to be something bad, and she discovers that her world's not quite the utopia that she's been told it is.
So where did this come from? I mean, is this something that's been twirling in your head for years or what?
No, I was getting ready for work one morning, and in the background on the television was a nature show, a documentary, and they were talking about how they create these natural habitats for animals that are endangered so that they can survive and thrive and hopefully build their numbers. And I thought, you know, humans, what would we do if there was something cataclysmic? And, you know, would we have the ability to create for ourselves some sort of habitat that we could survive and maybe rebuild society? And that's kind of what started the ball rolling. It didn't hit me straight away that that was going to be a story. It was just a fleeting thought. And then I think it was about a week later, I was on vacation. And this is a horrible thing to say. I was in a bathroom. I looked into this mirror, and it created this odd effect, this reflection, and I thought, wow, that is the coolest thing ever. And somehow the pieces just started falling, and that's the way Habitat was born. That's it.
So when you get this whatever vision or this concept, do you sit down and just, you know, start putting notes down about thoughts that are in your head? And then just keep building that, and it then go back and try to make it words? Or what?
Yeah. For, you know, I think every writer probably has a different method. For me, I just put down everything that is in my head until I feel like I have purged myself of all of those thoughts. But I think I'm very old school. You know, I was taught to make a diagram and to make sure that everything was charted out well and kind of the flow of the story. And then you just go in and you fill in the gaps. I get inspiration in the oddest moments. I mean, I just, in the shower, my husband says I take incredibly long showers. And I said, you know, it's like a working thing. We could deduct the water bill because this is working time for me. My mind is going through all of the possible storylines, you know, or driving. I have a recorder when I drive down to see our daughter in Aiken. That hour and 45 or 2 hours, I'm constantly talking into a recorder. I know people must think that I'm talking to myself as I'm going down the highway. But
well, you're smart to record it because you probably forget it.
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt about that. I am not dependable in that area at all.
So how long, I mean, how many, whatever, weeks, months, years did you just download all these thoughts
right
to finally say, okay, now I got to write this?
Right. So Habitat started out as just another story that was in my head. I had no idea that I would pursue publishing it. And only until I was about halfway through did I realize I had fallen in love with this storyline and with these characters. And that put the push on for me. So I worked on Habitat about a year and really dragged my feet about publishing. I wasn't sure that's what I wanted to do. It's very. Well,
now, why would you write it if you're not going to publish it?
You know,
come on.
It's kind of a. It's a very intimate thing to put the inner workings of your mind down on paper for everyone to read.
You were afraid somebody was going to read it and say you're crazy.
They were going to say this woman should not teach our children.
So what did Vincenzo say?
He's great. So he is a fan in this way. When he comes in from work, I'll say, okay, I need to run this by you. And I sometimes think he's not listening, but more focused on whatever news program or TV channel. But he has taken this stuff down. And at the end, I'll say, okay, what do you think? And he'll say, this is totally unbelievable. This will never work. She needs to do this. This is what a man would say. You are writing this man as he is a woman. So...
You pay attention to him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've got all of this feedback. And then, you know, I bounce ideas off of friends and our daughter and my brother, of course. I bounce ideas all the time. I have a great publicist that is like a right hand. She is my biggest fan. She's awesome. And so it's great. There's a whole team. It is not just me writing a book. I get to do the fun part. It's everyone else who has the tough stuff to do.
Now, when you say the fun part, I want you to just tell me true or false. Other authors that I have interviewed over the years have told me that writing is a very disciplined profession. You've got to sit down. A lot of these people do it like first thing in the morning. They'll wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning knock out 4 or 5 hours. But if you don't do it on a disciplined basis, you can't just write a paragraph here and come back 2 weeks later. I mean,
right,
you agree
right.
to that?
I am a hermit. I go through times when my people do not see me. I just have to kind of buckle down and say, look, I've got to get this out while it's fresh in my head. While I still feel the momentum of the story to make sure there's consistency, I do, but it's like being a hermit. I mean, because, you know, especially on this break that we're on now from school, I'm at home, but I'm totally unavailable sometimes. And everyone's like, you're on summer break. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to put book two, you know, out. Book two is coming out. Hopefully in August, and I'm telling you what, I was completely unavailable for like 2 months. People didn't know if I was at home or where I was. You know, I'm hiding the car behind the garage.
What about the restaurant? You got to be there in the evening.
You know what? That's
sorry, I'm not going
to
be there.
Sacrifice that. I'm like, sorry, Vin, I can't be there. My main character is throwing a fit. I've got to work this out.
So when you put all these ideas and notes together. Before you started writing, did you think, well, I got enough here for one book, and then all of a sudden you realized, no, this is two books or three books?
Oddly, I knew that I couldn't get all of this into one book. I knew that this was going to be a journey. I mean, it's a great read if you love dystopian literature. It's a great read.
You need to define dystopian literature.
So dystopian is... In the same vein as George Orwell's 1984 or Lois Lowry's The Giver, The Handmaid's Tale, that's an Atwood book that's out recently that's really popular. It's just a view, a what-if view of the future. That's very negative. It is the exact opposite of what we hope our world will become. And... the what-if game is fascinating to me.
So how do you keep yourself from reality, making your fiction into reality? I mean, if you have that, if all this negative stuff is coming to your head about what the world's going to be like.
You know what? It's a great guide. It is a how not to live your life guide. It's like, if we do this, this, and this, this could be the result of that. It's a great guide for... making sure that we, as responsible individuals, are doing the right thing so we don't find ourselves in one of these horrific futures. You know, you just have to kind of separate yourself. Because I know that when I've said, you know, this happens, they're like, oh, my God, how do you come up with that? Why? what, do you really think like that? And I'm like, no, that's the point. This is just a what if. It's not like what I want or what I'm hoping for. God forbid, it's just a what if.
Some people would say you might be bipolar, but you're not. But you're not.
I hope not. I hope not. My polar is singular.
There you go. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Frieda, one of the things we always do here at Substation 2 is we like to tell everybody why they need to come here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. The magic is the white letters on that T-shirt right there in front of you. And we all say it together, even stand up to say it, at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there is no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator and Founders Online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway, and it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. A delightful lady by the name of Frieda Lewis Lombardo is with us today. She is, she's coming out of the... out of the box with not one, not two, but a three-part series of books called the End Series. This is version number one, Habitat.
Right. Book number one is Habitat. Book number two should be out in August.
Called?
COVID has. It's called New Earth.
Okay.
And it's just a continuation of this story. COVID has put a lot of delay in the publishing industry, but so hopefully it will be out in August. And then book three is called Rise, and we're shooting for January, but we will see.
Jeez, Suey. Well, the whole world of you write a book, which is a challenge in itself. Then somebody's going to go through it and tell you, I like it, I don't like it, whatever.
I mean,
Do you have a publisher that's doing this, or are you self-publishing?
Yes. So it's a hybrid kind of thing. I have from Penguin Publishing, my editor, and then I have interior designer that it takes a team.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A huge team. Interior designer that does all of the beautiful work on the inside, and then the artwork, the cover art is done. Her name is Ranka Stevic. She's from Serbia.
Oh my gosh.
And she is a genius. I love the artwork. I love art anyway, and I knew that I wanted something. And so it takes a whole team of people to put out a book. So that's why I said I just get to do the fun part, and everyone else gets to.
And you've never met the artist from Serbia. I bet you did that all online.
Yeah, we do all that online, video conferencing online to talk about different designs and that sort of thing. I like to think that I have a lot of input. I probably do not. They probably just...
Was it a hard sell to get Penguin to do this?
No. She did this independently.
Ah, okay.
She freelanced this
from
Penguin. I considered going the traditional route, but decided that I didn't want to be locked in to a publisher. I wanted a little more control over what was going to happen. I don't know. I don't know if I'll do that again. I don't know which route I'll take. It's a new world for publishing, actually.
Oh, absolutely it is. We're living in a... For people to say that... I always love to talk to people who are in the library business. They will tell you the libraries are used more now than ever before. Mm-hmm. But they're used in different ways.
Right.
The art of reading, unfortunately, is something that I think is getting lost. Too many people are too consumed by their telephones. And they don't want to sit down and read a book. But where I think it's what's really happened with the technology is these audio books, where somebody will take a book like this and they'll get it read, and you go to something like whatever the companies are, audio books, and you can download these things and you can listen to them. Or in my case, I like to listen to them while I'm reading them, which is a very interesting way of doing it. And a book like this, which is out there in outer space, you get the right kind of person that can read this thing. Woo!
I know someone who is actually local who does this work, who does work for audiobooks. I think that's really interesting. I don't listen to audiobooks myself, but I think they're great, and a lot of people have asked me about that. I think that might be the wave of the future. People just, you know, especially people who commute. I think that would be great. The people who are in the car so much to be able to listen to a book. But you're right. I think that reading may not be what it was at one time because of, you know, new technology and internet and that sort of thing. But I can remember always having a book going. And my family, sometimes there would be more than one book. I never knew how they could do that, reading more than one book at a time.
Yeah,
I don't know
either
how that works. But, always had a book by your bedside.
Sure.
Constantly.
I always have a book I'm reading.
Do you?
I don't go through dozens of them a year like my wife does. But I go through a few.
Yeah.
When I get time, I sit down and grab a chapter here, a chapter there.
Oh, I love it. I think it's very relaxing.
I'm reading a Pat Conroy book right now, which is way off my normal thing that I like.
Way off your biographies.
Yeah, I'm a biography kind of guy. So, the if you look at the back of the jacket, this is really interesting. Matter of fact, I'm going to get you to read the paragraph up here.
Oh, golly.
That describes in a paragraph what this thing is all about. This is kind of interesting,
so
the way that this is put together. Can you read that all right?
Hold it across from me so I can see it. No, uh-huh. I'm just teasing. It sounds so dull and boring to read out loud.
Well, I don't think so.
So after the global war of 2032, Earth's population stood at 5,000. Orphaned newborn Ellis Bauer was one of the lucky survivors. For 20 years, her small world was perfect. No war, no hunger, no poverty, no crime. Now bizarre behavior is escalating within her walled pre-war town of Horizon, built to shelter political big shots when the inevitable doomsday arrived.
Jeez.
You know these places exist. These places that are meant to shelter our politicians.
Right.
Can you imagine just for a moment, if something happened and we had to rebuild our society, I would hope I would be nearby to one of these places, because as I tell my students, if we do ever have an apocalypse, I don't think I have the tools to survive. I think I'm way too slow. I think that I have no skills whatsoever when it comes to building shelter. I'm going to need to hang on the coattails of someone else.
So the world is left with 5,000 people.
Right.
Which is very interesting. So is this community of 5,000? Are we back to Stone Ages in terms of...
No, that's what's the beauty part of it, is that this place that was built
Horizon.
To shelter, they've named it Horizon, this place that was meant to shelter and regrow society in the event of some sort of catastrophe, it's equipped with the most amazing things to help people rebuild and function very close to the way things were before.
Jeez.
So it's an interesting concept that we would have to even think in these terms, that there could be something that happens one day. But I was talking with a friend who reads my things and gives me lots of great feedback. And this was last year. I was researching for New Earth, the book that comes out in August, and I had to research pandemics, and I had all of this information that I had printed out, and we were talking about the pandemics, and she said, you know, this is crazy. Can you imagine what the people of 1900, of the early 1900s, when Spanish flu came out, can you imagine how scared they must have been? And I said, you know, it is. I cannot imagine how crazy that would be. Thank goodness we are at the point where our advances in medicine and technology and engineering, you know, we're probably never going to see anything like that in our lifetime.
And along comes.
And along, 6 months later, we're all quarantined wearing masks.
Isn't that something?
Which is just incredible to think that, you know, in the blink of an eye, the world can change.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world. I mean, this affected everyone, and it's amazing to think that there are these things that could affect us so on a broad scale, like COVID.
Amazing. So where can people get this book?
So Habitat is available on Amazon.com. You can go there. You can go to my website, FridaLewisLombardo.com.
Okay.
And check out, there's a book trailer for Habitat, which is scarily similar to what you see on TV as of late. There's a book trailer for that. You can read up on the next book, New Earth, what it's going to be about and when it's going to come out. But go to Amazon.com and check out Habitat.
And you can always go get yourself a great meal.
You can always go to
Vinny's.
You know, it's one of the perks of being married to the owner of
a
restaurant.
The books are available right there, and
you
I'll bet
you
Frida will be there to sign it for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Frida, thank you for coming up from Chester. This has been very interesting.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lots of luck to you with not only number one, number two, but also number three.
Why, thank you so
much. I wonder
much.
What's spinning around in your head for number four.
Oh, my. You've given me a lot to think about today.
Okay. All right, her name is Frida Lewis Lombardo. The book is called Habitat, and this is part one of a three-part series called The End Series. And you can get this just about anywhere. Go online, and you'll find it. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program for this Wednesday afternoon, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And as we always do here at Substation 2, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. There's a magical way to do it, and we're going to chant it out together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice,
slice,
slice.
Slice.
Garden, garden, garden,
garden, garden. All right, have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.